standing by. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode until the question and answer session. If you would like to ask a question at that time, please press star then one. Today's conference is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. Now I'll turn the call over to Ms. Sheila Lubar, North American General Business Enterprise Solutions Sales Leader. Ma'am, you may begin.
Okay, thank you, Brandy. Welcome to everyone, and welcome to our second General Business Sales Enablement session focused on Enterprise Asset Management. As I mentioned in our first call, Enterprise Asset Management is one of the five transformational plays that were called out by Harris Warsaw, who's our North America General Business Sales Leader, at the start of 2010. And with that, myself and my colleagues on the North America Tivoli and Maximo sales teams want to ensure that we give you all the tools that you need as sellers to identify new opportunities for enterprise asset management in your respective territories. Today's session is focused on the oil and gas industry, and the format for today's session will be to first take you through an overview of enterprise asset management in oil and gas, and then we'll open it up for questions that you might have, and finally we'll finish with a call to action. So to help us get started, I want to turn the call over to Steve Lee, who's a North America Maximo Sales Evangelist. Steve?
Thank you, Sheila, and good morning, everyone. So hopefully you've had a chance to download the slides. If you have not, then just shoot me an email or catch me at the same time, steve.lee/boulder, and I'll make sure you get the slides. But right now we're on slide number two, and as Sheila said, you know, here's the agenda. And just to quickly give you a definition of what enterprise asset management is, let's break down those three points. So enterprise, meaning all business units across all divisions within your customer accounts. Asset are the physical equipment and tangible capital associated with the production and delivery of products and services to your customers, internal and external customers, their own customers, I should say. And then finally, the management piece, the business process and practices associated with performing activities over these assets to maximize their contribution to the production and goods and services. So basically, moving on to slide three, let me talk a little bit about what, as Sheila said, about what asset management is. I'll spend the first few moments talking about that, then I'll flip it over to our industry leader, Bill Ely, who will take us through the majority of today's presentation. So slide number three shows the message we're trying to convey today. That message is that companies rely on EAM, enterprise asset management practices, to ensure that their assets are working efficiently and effectively in order to deliver these goods and services to the marketplace. So last week on the transportation call, we talked about aviation and rail and transporting passengers and freight. This week, we're going to talk about assets particular to the oil and gas industry, such as offshore rigs, pipelines, and all those different icons you see there, all constituting up to deliver a service or a product. So all these assets need to be tracked, managed, and serviced in order to deliver optimal value and support critical business functions. So as you are talking to your clients, these clients, they're dealing with these tough economic times just like everybody else. So they do want to hear about how they can transform their operations and lower operating costs, increase the efficiency and effectiveness of their assets, make those assets work longer so that can prolong the need to buy new assets. That way, you know, that can save them money. Ultimately, that will lead to improved service to their clients. Now, one other key point that's missing here, I should state, and you know, we've all been monitoring the news and the things that are happening in the Gulf right now, it's the notion around safety. So, in fact, just this morning I read an article stating that there are questions, not that they know what the core issue was, but there are questions being raised around safety concerns as well as equipment operator training. So in the industry-specific portion of this call, Bill's going to address these points and how they apply in the world of asset management. Moving to slide number four, managing all enterprise assets. This is truly one of IBM's key value propositions for Maximo, the fact that we manage and maintain all enterprise assets. So going forward after this call, one of your jobs as client reps is to elevate the definition of what enterprise means to your client. In a traditional sense, enterprise assets in oil and gas were the oil, the offshore rigs, the fleet, the pipelines, et cetera. But we need to be able to explain to the client, to have them understand that we also believe that IT assets are just as important in delivering a business service. If you can get the conversation up to that level, you have placed IBM in a position where there's no other competitors. In the traditional EAM segment, there are competitors like SAP, and in the IT segment, there are competitors like HP or BMC, those competitors that we are pretty familiar with being heritage IBMers. However, no one can do both. No one can do both traditional enterprise and IT asset management. And not only does IBM do it, we do it the best. If you look at specifically the oil and gas market, we own 26% of the market share according to the ARC Advisory Group. Our number two competitor is SAP at 16%. And as we go through the rest of this presentation, Bill's going to touch upon how SAP is not only a competitor of ours, but in many cases we have to be in cooperation with that product set. So moving on to slide number five. So if you haven't guessed it by now, the concept of asset management goes beyond who our, as IBMers, traditional audience was. Normally we talk to IT managers, software asset managers, service desk people. However, the topic of asset management gives you a reason to forge new relationships within the business, such as the maintenance managers, risk managers, purchasing. Now, though the topic of asset management is the same, the conversation you will have with each one of these people is completely different. So this slide is valuable in that it tells you who you can talk to and what they're interested in talking about. So quite frankly, the law of 6 degrees of separation really applies here. So meaning, use your current audience to find new conversations. For instance, you're talking to an IT manager. Well, they're probably linked in with the facilities manager to look at power and energy, and because data center is a key shared component between those two groups. So talk to your IT manager to talk to facilities managers will lead you to a conversation with the maintenance managers. Another route is through software asset managers who's very focused on making sure they're not over-compliant or under-compliant on number of licenses, software licenses they own for the variety of business applications they are running. A software asset manager conversation will bring in a contract manager, and then furthermore, a purchasing manager. So you can kind of see how you can take your current influencers and then open up new conversations around the topic of asset management. Finally, one other point I wanted to make on this slide is another influencer, which is the public perception. Going back to things in the media again, that brings upon a somewhat of negative social public perception, if you will, that companies really don't want. So how do they mitigate that risk? And so essentially, the public is driving these conversations within your customer account. So now is actually an opportune time to go into your oil and gas customers and talk about things that are happening in the industry and how asset management can help them reduce the potential for these types of incidents. So moving on to slide six, here are some deeper probing questions that you can use in these future conversations. So in a nutshell, what these questions are truly about is how to improve service to the customer, how to reduce the cost of operations, and how to do so in a safe, reliable manner that adheres to stringent governmental and industry regulations. So that's what all these questions are really about, those three key points. Ultimately, the more mission-critical the assets are to your customers, the more they will need Maximo. So, and there are not many other industries where this is more true as it is in oil and gas. So at this point, I'd like to flip it over to Bill Ely, who will talk about some of the entry points and then go into some greater detail on his industry. So, Bill, please go ahead.
Thank you, Steve. So if we could advance to slide seven and talk about some of the entry points. Steve hinted upon many of these in the last few slides, so I'll just start here again. So within oil and gas, the Maximo has a specific industry solution for that is driven largely by our large install base within the industry that includes specific functionality primarily focused around process safety management. For those that may or may not know, the oil and gas industry is extremely sensitive to safety-related issues. And a lot of research in the market will show that the reliability of your equipment is highly correlated to safety. So if you're running an environment that has predictable, reliable assets, generally also you have indicators that show you're operating in a safe environment. But the converse is also true. So if your assets aren't reliable and a lot of unexpected failures are occurring, you're also likely to run into a lot of significant incidents. So for those that may or may not be aware that, you know, the issue with Transocean's rig and one of the BP assets in the Gulf of Mexico, again, the investigation's not done. But another sort of point to bring up is this is not typically an entry point. To be very, very careful here. Again, safety is a huge issue, a driver in this industry, and they take it extremely seriously. This is not about chasing ambulances and running in and say, oh, you just had this incident. No, this is more about just as sellers to be perceptive and be aware that this is a significant issue, and if you can tie our solution to it better than our competition, it gives you a good opportunity. Positive ROI, right? This is a tremendous entry point. Sometimes it's difficult maybe to get the client to buy into it, but this is about the biggest driver here with our clients is improving the uptime of these assets. If you can improve that uptime by a single percent, translates into hundreds of millions of dollars depending on the asset you're talking about. So but there's many things that a client can invest in to make that happen. Some of it is just a new asset or a physical asset or a new technology or a new turbine or new, you know, compressors or new control systems. So they can invest in many different areas. And it's really the enterprise asset management solution that allows you sort of manage the data for all these assets to help a client make a decision on where they ought to invest in the first place. Point is, it translates into extremely positive ROI, demonstrable ROI. So you should feel confident. The market's probably already going to be pretty aware of being able to do this, so you can, again, be confident to lead with that. Steve mentioned the convergence consolidation. When he talked about it, he talked about in terms of maximal, the ability to not only maintain, let's say, the assets associated to a drilling rig or to a refinery, but also to be able to maintain the assets associated to IT infrastructure. Well, within the oil and gas industry, there's, for the last decade or so, there's a lot of discussion around these concepts like digital oil field, refineries of the future, integrated operations, so they call it IO, smart fields, digital oil. And it's essentially basically the physical assets that are in this industry becoming more digital. So they're being embedded with sensors and controls and actuators that allow the client to get this, you know, near real-time or process intelligence that cascades into these enterprise applications. Well, the convergence issue is these physical assets become digital, and there's a strong value proposition for being able to manage those different types of assets in the same system. So again, it's a trend. I think, you know, it's not dissimilar. You know, the industry is going to be familiar with it. What they're not yet, I think, seeing, and this is where I've been sort of leading the vision here, is that to optimize these assets, because they aren't being embedded with IT technology, you really ought to try to manage those in the same solution set, and that's our value prop, right? SAP can't do that. I mean, if you go to talk to a CIO and say, look, why don't you use SAP to manage your IT assets and your IT asset infrastructure, it can't be done, right? Well, they can manage maybe your plant infrastructure, but not your IT. You go to HP or BMC and say, go use HP's, you know, service desk to manage drilling equipment, it can't be done, or it's extremely difficult. It's really unprecedented. You really don't see those solutions doing that in the market. And then I guess the last point Stephen mentioned is that this is all kinds of different assets across the landscape within our industry. In the subsequent slides, though, you'll also see that there's, you know, IBM, you know, for our business in oil and gas, it represents about a $2 billion business for IBM, and Maximal is a part of that. But what you also find is that the other offerings that IBM provides to this industry, many of those are directly related to enterprise asset management. So this gives you, as a client rep or an S&D or a software seller, many opportunities to branch off and additionally on-ramps, either to a Maximal install base or to grow a better, you know, value proposition for your client based on these pre-integrated products like iLog or like Cognos or SPSS. And I'll bring up and I'll highlight some of those as we move forward. Why don't we transition to slide 8, a little bit deeper dive here on the landscape. And if you move from left to right on this slide, and there is some build here. Those watching this in presentation mode, you can build this out a little bit. But if you go from left to right here, you're looking at on the furthest most left is really upstream activity, and on the furthest to the right is sort of your downstream, often called refining and marketing. And just sort of, you know, as you're prospecting here, if you go from sort of the pipelines to the left, 60 to 70% of the investment in the industry is in the upstream part of our business. And again, the remaining 30%, 35% is downstream. So you need to consider that because it also reflects a bit about where the opportunity is for you to sell software and also about, you know, where the clients are actually investing and trying to grow the market or their businesses. It's actually in the upstream. Another consideration here is, and we'll talk about the competitive landscape here in a second, but when you move downstream, the competitive landscape, primarily around SAP, is a lot stronger. So, you know, the sales cycles can get dragged off. It's harder to convey the value prop or the difference between us and SAP, whereas the further upstream you operate, we seem to have, I don't know if it's easier, but the ability for us to convey differences in our solution set is much stronger. But as you can see, we've got customers in each of the segments here. And another point here is many of your customers, you really have to know where they participate in the supply chain. If you look at it like an integrated oil company, like an ExxonMobil, they participate in every piece of the stream except for, I guess, oil field services. Although they wouldn't be classified as an oil field services company, they actually provide services to other customers. So you could really, you know, for a company like an ExxonMobil, or even a national oil company like a Petrobras or a Kuwait oil company, they're going to have assets across this whole spectrum. However, there are some companies that focus only on one or two of these. So it's very important as you go in, when you're talking to these clients, you're talking about their assets. You don't want to go into a refining company and start talking about drilling rigs, right? You don't want to go into drilling, you know, company and start talking about retail gas stations. So you need, yeah, obviously do your research, and this is no different from any other, you know, opportunity you're going to pursue, but make sure that the more you can talk about the relevance of assets and the business processes to their business, the more success you'll have. We've got references in each of these areas. Now, it depends. It could be a bit challenging sometimes because although we've got references in each of these areas, when you talk about specific references in a certain geography, maybe integrated with SAP or Oracle or JD Edwards or some other solution, you know, that can be a bit challenging. But the truth is we've got references in every one of these segments that we can draw from if necessary. I won't go through the details. You can see there in the list of the different types of assets that are managed in each of the segments. And again, the solution fit, I got marked high here, which is true. The solution is perfect for each of these segments. I think the competitive nature of those segments, I would definitely provide guidance. Go where the money is, which is upstream. And then second, that's also an easier opportunity for us to demonstrate our differences over our competition. Go ahead on to slide 9, and these are just some examples. And at the end of the slide deck, we may not cover on this call. I don't think we'll have time, but there's 4 or 5 case studies, and there's also some links that guide you to other case studies. I'm going to highlight one here because it's a recent win that we've had with SAP, and it talks about some of the really strong value props that you really need to be thinking through in terms of positioning and justifying the value. But here are some genericized examples. Again, we would have examples for every one, every one of those segments across each of these drivers. So, you know, labor utilization, turnarounds, typically there's some research out there that says it's 90,000 man hours in an average turnaround. And these folks do this once a year, once every 18 months for either the refineries or there's some of the larger offshore platforms. So for 90,000 hours, try to imagine, you know, if you could carve out 10% of that. It's a huge amount of saving, but also improve the level of service. But to do those things, you need to be a much more proactive in a planning mode and have really good intelligence on the current asset condition and how it's performing. So, again, there's an example here of a refining company. Asset utilization, I talked about this. Again, you know, 3 to 5%, these are big numbers, right? So typically even getting a 0.5% or a 1% and getting the client to agree to that based on looking at some challenges they have around asset utilization, a huge amount. If you look at, as an example, the Transocean rig, it's called Deepwater Horizon, in the Gulf of Mexico, is having, you know, that was recently, you know, caught on fire and sank. That, when that was built, I think 5-6 years ago, it's a fifth generation rig. It was $350 million to build that rig. Today, it's closer to $1 billion. So again, you know, significant assets, you really, you know, the significant expenditures going into these assets to help these clients better manage and proactive. Now, again, I'm saying that with the caveat that we don't know what the issue was. A lot in the literature, at least that I've been exposed to, talks about some of the you know, pressures that were built up. But there's equipment that's supposed to protect an offshore rig or any kind of drilling situation to reduce the risk associated to a blowout. Again, I won't go through all these in here. Another big one, it's not on this list, it's sort of associated to a couple of these, is on the compliance costs. If you look at the dynamics in the industry, and we'll highlight those again in a subsequent slide, around aging workforce and aging asset, both those two put together, right? Your people are retiring, but yet your assets are getting older, is a formula for a lot of major challenges in this industry. And so you're seeing a lot of regulatory pressure to make sure these companies manage this type of risk, and which requires compliance, and which introduces additional costs for many of these oil and gas companies to demonstrate their own compliance with the regulation. And so these guys cannot possibly demonstrate that compliance without a good system in place that's capturing this data systematically and driving towards the processes that do compliance in the first place. Why don't we go ahead and advance to the next slide. The next three slides really talk about an example with Baker Hughes. We had closed this business, I think it's the front end of Q4 last year, and it really represents, I think, a good example of, you know, some of the differences that we have. In this particular case, you know, SAP was the incumbent. There are many other EAM systems. If you look at Baker Hughes, they've acquired many other oil field services types of companies over time. And many of them already had some systems in place. They all had different processes. And you're going to find this very common in the industry as you know, oil and gas companies buy and sell and trade assets very, very frequently. And because of that, their IT systems are really scattered with hundreds of different types of systems. Many of them don't integrate. Many of them overlap in terms of functionality and capability, which it represents probably one of the bigger opportunities that we have in terms of helping our clients, you know, simplify that complexity, standardize across their enterprise so they get better transparency and visibility into how all their assets are performing. That's sort of the summary of this Baker Hughes story. Now, this particular slide just shows some functions that, Baker Hughes had evaluated between SAP and the BHI Maps. That's a custom homegrown system that they had been building for years and really struggled to be able to get enterprise scalability through that approach, but that was certainly one of their options. And then you see the IBM, the Maximo, oil and gas, it was actually an oil and gas solution with a couple other add-ons in the other column. And then look at the fifth column there, I guess the criticality for BHI. The red is really, these are activities that they'll run their business with. The blue is, these are areas where they can grow and improve their business. The green, I guess, is the improved business process piece. So you can see where they felt that they saw gaps in the SAP solution, and you can see where they saw gaps in the custom solution where Maximo was meeting many of these requirements out of the box. So one caution I have here is that, and I bring it up because of this slide, it helps me articulate the point, is many of the sales cycles we get into, especially in this industry, SAP is the incumbent ERP, right? So typically what SAP will position, rather than a complementary solution with the best of breed, they'll say, well, what is it that best of breed has that we don't have? Right? So even in this case, if you look at the second line item here, work order management, right? Well, both SAP and Maximo do work orders, right? And in this particular case, you know, that you just see an X in both those boxes. Well, what Baker Hughes realized that just because SAP has work orders, Maximo has work orders too, but it does it a lot differently. So my point is you don't want to run down a path of just doing a feature function checklist because that really explains what the solution has. It doesn't explain how the solution, you know, supports a business process. So I guess enough on this slide. Let's go ahead to the next slide, which is another data point. This one builds here, and you can see they evaluated each of the three solutions, SAP, custom built versus Maximo, and you can see where they felt Maximo met a lot of the requirements really right out of the box, which is sort of that green space in each of those columns. And then, you know, what did they need to do in terms of configuration to meet some additional requirements? You can see, again, that's a lot lower on the Maximo side. And then any customization work required from either of those solutions. So, again, Maximo, you know, was much closer to fitting, you know, their solution space. And for those that don't know, you know, Baker Hughes, there's actually, I have a slide later in the deck where there's a global broadcast with World Oil we're doing, and Baker Hughes is going to tell this story here in a lot more detail. But it's a very complex business. They have discrete manufacturing, process manufacturing, and field services that are really, the way they compete is based on the quality of their services. And many of their services are actually delivered using assets. So, again, Maximo allows them to get much closer to understanding the performance and the condition, the quality of those services based on how those assets are performing. We go to one more slide here on Baker Hughes. And, again, another very compelling message to deliver to this industry is the ability to, for really the IT folks, and this is sort of aligns with the message of helping. Typically, IBM's best contact and most of its accounts are with the IT folks. So what you're trying to do is help the IT folks better align with the business. You're helping your customer's IT department deliver capabilities to their internal customers faster than they can do today with the current systems. That's exactly what this slide was assembled for Baker Hughes. So they've experienced many years of SAP and with their custom built solution. And you can see here with SAP, they, you know, in the same roughly the same time period, they felt Maximo for against SAP could deliver twice as fast to the market additional functionality. So this gives them a business benefit, allowing the field service people for Baker Hughes to be more responsive to customer demand or opportunities for Baker Hughes to sell more, to differentiate their product. And you need that flexibility in sort of that front office situation to be competitive. And then with the custom solution, they felt it was three times as fast. So anyway, I think we found this actually with our internal product development with Maximo itself as well. But those are slides, again, those are customer telling us very, very recently in a compete with against SAP, we were trying to really promote a complementary solution on top of SAP rather than them or us. It was both of us, and this is how we could work together. Let me go on to slide 13. It's just sort of a, I guess, a title slide here. There is a recording on this that the CMP community within IBM did with IDC in January, and you can get further details on this. But IDC sort of highlights 10 predictions within the industry. And when you understand these and dig into them, some of them, it really slaps you in the face, but others you have to dig a little bit further in terms of how does this impact the client environment to actually sell any EAM solution. So I'm going to go through these 10 predictions. Some of them I'll just only briefly touch upon because it's not a direct or an implied direct implication on Maximo. Every one of them will absolutely impact a client's, you know, consideration for an EAM solution. But some of these are so strong, those are the ones you really want to focus on. So the first one I come to is number one, right, the end of Easy Oil. For those that have been selling in the industry, this is a pretty common one. But essentially, you know, the reserves for Easy Oil, the lighter crudes, those are the ones that it's a lot easier to process and refine, to gather and refine, to turn into a refined product. Well, it's a lot harder these days, so you're going into much harsher environments, deeper waters, you know, further into zones where, you know, people don't live, so you got to find a way to transport workers to these hazardous locations. And these environments also have a much heavier toll on actually the equipment itself. So, you know, there's a lot more, you know, awareness or processes that need to be considered in terms of, okay, if I have to get parts, materials, and labor, you know, specialty type labor to an offshore platform, I can't just drive out to that platform, right? I have to, you know, get on a helicopter. Well, if I fly out there and find out, well, geez, I don't have the right parts to do the job, that's a lot different than if I'm in a refinery and I walk to the job site and find out I don't have the right parts. Now, there are issues in both cases, but there are a lot of different circumstances. And another key one here is for these remote environments is a lot of times the bed quarters, right, the places where your workers sleep, and you know, because a lot of times they'll be sent out, they'll work three weeks straight or 2 weeks straight, and they'll come in onshore and another group goes out. There's limited bed space. So, again, the ability to plan, effectively plan the work based on you only have a certain number of people can be on that rig or be on that platform, you really have to start to think through these things a lot differently. So this is where Maximal comes into play tremendously in terms of helping clients better plan for this. I think I won't go through all the details. I guess on the slide you can look at some of the maximal considerations and strengths here. But these are the things that you, when you're sitting down with your client or you're doing the research, you're looking at their website, you're looking at the local paper that sort of reflects some comments on their business, looking at their annual report. These are the things you need to look for so you can, you know, when you're sitting down with a customer, you can probe, listen for these things, dig a little deeper, and then start to, you know, position an IBM solution around. But Easy Oil has big impacts to the whole asset value chain, and it's certainly a key driver for clients wanting to do more strategic things with the enterprise asset management. And, again, you'll see the strengths down there in the lower right on how to position some of the maximal content. The next one, slide number 15, it's number two on IDC. So asset management will be focused on reducing non-productive time and preventative maintenance. So, again, this is many of the clients in this industry have been very reactive, and they're firefighting, or not literally, but they're you know, being very reactive to things that are occurring, and they'll run it to failure, an asset to fail. When it breaks, then they'll figure out what to do. That is not going to work in this environment where these assets are in much more remote locations. They have to get to a much more planned environment. Now, to do that, they need a lot better structured data on how the assets are performing, what is their current condition, what are the regulatory requirements that I have to demonstrate in terms of my inspections, et cetera. So the clients are really trying to improve the utilization rates of these assets, and they need the systematic approach to do it with inspections, detections, corrective action of failures. So this is a big driver. If you can succeed in positioning a value assessment with a client, this will be the largest line item in that business case in terms of helping them get more productive and more, you know, proactive about how they manage their assets. Let's go to number three. So E&P, that's exploration and production. Information management will require collaboration, data integrity, and accessibility. Probably not a huge direct correlation to Maximal, other than some of this information that they need that will actually be inside of Maximal. Not all of it, right? When E&P talks about information management, the real requirements are around reservoir modeling. So this is the geoscience types of applications that model a reservoir and can impact sort of real-time drilling of the equipment. So there's an indirect link between us and Maximal. But one thing I do want to bring about here is around collaboration. And one thing that's unique about Maximal here is that most of the market, right, so Maximal has been known to this oil and gas industry for, 30 to 40 years. But, and that's a good thing, right? The bad thing is that most of the market, probably 95% of the market believes Maximal, it's a maintenance management system, which tends to push you down a little bit in the organization. Oh, that's just maintenance. Go talk to those guys. Well, what our customers have done in the last, 5 to 7 years is that they've pulled in through, we're pretty proud about how we work with our customers to develop our products in Maximal. What they've done is they've added additional capability around process safety management, around reliability engineering, around management of change, around incident management. And when you start to bring these other process management capabilities to the product, this is goes well beyond maintenance anymore. So I do believe most of the market still looks at a lot of our competition, including the ERP vendors, SAP PM as an example, as really just being a maintenance system. right? But what we've built is a collaborative solution that allows operations to have visibility into some of the things that maintenance is doing, have maintenance to have visibility into some of the things that engineering's doing, and vice versa. And all three groups having visibility around these safety issues that are typically governed at a higher level out of corporate through HS&E, but are implicated by all these folks that are, you know, in the field. So again, when you're positioning around, if you hear the words with your client, they're talking about collaboration and building these applications that allow me to get away from these different data silos. We've already done that in a large degree. Now, that said, there's a lot of other collaboration software and technology that IBM can also bring to the picture. And there's those types of discussions that are ongoing. But anyway, I just want to highlight that piece. Collaboration is another big sort of key word to look for when you're talking with your customers. If we go to slide 4, the next prediction, enhanced oil recovery dependent on real-time data acquisition and surveillance technology. Certainly a huge trend. This is the one I mentioned earlier about digital oil fields, smart fields, refineries of the future. And this is not just a maximal solution. Now, the real-time data, a certain percentage of that, this is going to go into real-time systems for safety or real-time systems for production management or drilling management or reservoir analysis. But a certain percentage of that information, like let's say runtime hours of a drilling rig or a top drive, some of that information should be shared and cascaded into Maximo that drives a more proactive approach to doing maintenance. For example, let's say you want to do maintenance on a top drive every, 5,000 hours or 10,000 hours or whatever that threshold you set is. Well, instead of someone manually going in and taking a reading or understanding, well, geez, this is running about 9,000 hours, we've got to wait another 1,000, we should be able to, integrate these real-time systems to trigger this condition that says, you run 10,000 hours, let's kick off this type of maintenance routine. So to enable this, IBM's invested tremendous amount of time and resources with the industry standards group. So a key point to think through here is around IIF, for those that may or may not be familiar with it, is a platform that really differentiates IBM from other offerings in that it's open industry standards-based interoperability, which is essentially the best practice for IT folks to enable the integration of some of this real-time information in their process control systems with enterprise applications. Now, a lot of people out there do that, but a lot of it is very proprietary in how they go about doing that, which is absolutely not what the market wants. So we have built some adapters with Maximo that integrates to our framework. Now, we've got other additional work to do to make that more industrialized, but we actually subscribe to Mimosa, Open O&M, and PostCSER type of standards to allow us to integrate to these process control systems. And if you also think through that further, there's on-ramps here around storage, around security, those other things that IBM has that are unique that other EAM products don't start to come into play, giving you a real good opportunity to position a broader solution. We go to slide 18, number 5 prediction. Climate change legislation will increase sustainability measures for oil and gas. Every one of your customers, you go to the website, sustainability is probably not very many degrees away from their homepage. This is a big deal in the industry. And for oil and gas, a big part of sustainability is around risk associated with operating these assets. And Maximo can absolutely, its key capabilities in this industry, specifically those in the industry solution, are built to help manage risk. So a lot of folks will talk about sustainability also around EH&S, so the emissions or environmental emissions management, health and safety. Our solution's really geared around, at this point, around safety. But you're going to see in some of our other industries where we're starting to apply Maximo and some other IBM technology around environmental, and that will continue to grow in each of our industries. But this is absolutely a hot topic. Maximo has a role here around, really it's around process safety management and risk, which again ties to this driver around sustainability. Let's go on to slide 6. Emerging collaboration technologies aid the human capital challenge. I talked about collaboration earlier and gave you a sense of what to look for and how Maximo includes many processes within the applications that it creates collaboration. This one is sort of specifically called out to address the aging workforce issue, right? So I was in a meeting not too long ago with some BP folks, and they talked about how roughly, 60 to 70% of their workforce can retire in the next 3 to 4 years. So these are guys that have worked on these assets and familiar with these assets for years, and they have tacit knowledge on real specific things on how these assets work and run. But it's a lot of that's in their head. So, there's capabilities inside of Maximal. They're mentioned here in the list here, but allows you to capture that knowledge in a way that's actionable, right? A lot of folks will put these other knowledge management types of systems on, but they're sort of separately attached from a work and asset management system. What we're suggesting, a better way to do this, is put this actionable information on, let's say, lessons learned or solutions, attach it to your asset location hierarchy so other people, as new hires come on board, and they go to that asset type of record, they can see all these other lessons learned or experience that's been captured associated to that particular asset. So again, we can play here too, so look and listen for those types of keywords here. Let's move on to number 7, it's slide 20. Trading of energy commodities requiring IT support will recover and grow. Maximal is not a trading application, right? Trading and marketing applications within up or downstream are, where a lot of these companies can make a lot of money and also lose a lot of money. Typically, upstream is selling, raw crude or natural gas to a downstream, processing plant or refinery. The refiners have to buy those. Typically, they're longer-term contracts. But if an incident were to occur, like we've seen in the Gulf of Mexico recently, or weather or whatever, there's a disruption in that supply chain. So many of these folks have to go to a market on spot and sort of buy this. So there's a relationship between trading and marketing with Maximal, and the Maximal helps the trading and marketing organization have more confidence in the reliability of that production stream. But there's really, again, we're not a marketing and trading solution. There's an indirect link here. If you hear activities around trading and marketing, it's probably not one I would lead to. But if you do hear things like, we can't trade and market effectively because our assets are not performing on a consistent, predictable manner, that's absolutely a discussion you should be having around enterprise asset management. Let's go to slide 21, number 8, business intelligent tools spread throughout the enterprise. Another key one, I think it's a broader message, just Maximal, but as all of us know, that any business intelligence tool overlaid on a data set that does not have quality data in it is not going to really help you get a lot more intelligence. So the link here is clients are looking for these things on automation or faster ways to get to making quality types of decisions. Well, in the asset management world, to make intelligent or getting business intelligence around assets, how they're performing, you need good quality data. That's Maximal strength. Now, one thing that Maximal's probably not the strongest is in terms of how it conveys this data, which is really a great opportunity for us and our Cognos counterparts, and the ability to leverage a lot of the really deep analytics that Cognos provides on top of Maximal. Now, don't get me wrong. Certain clients, especially maybe GB clients, smaller in nature, just getting good KPIs and start centers and dashboards using Maximal's technology could maybe meet many of their requirements, and we can do that today. But I think clients are looking for a lot more advanced analytics, which is where we need to go to our partner Cognos here. And as you can see to the lower right, there's already pre-built Cognos cubes reflecting Maximal data. I think you're going to see additional investment there with the BAO offerings that we have within IBM overlaying on top of Maximal. So it's very, very exciting for us. If we go to slide 22, it's number 9 prediction, advanced supply chain strategy, dependent enterprise-wide IT systems. Very big one here. This is definitely between this one and I think it was number 2 on asset management investment. These are probably the 2 of the 10 that are most important. And you can see the highlights here that I called out in red. This will be, this will get pulled out from the Baker Hughes discussion tomorrow with World Oil. But look at under the predictions, the second one here. So So IDC is predicting that there's going to be reduced dependence on ERP systems to manage the supply chain. Now, what's really important here to understand, and again, this is reflected in the presentation in a lot more detail tomorrow, is, you know, the hydrocarbon supply chain going from left to right, from, let's say, oil field services all the way to a retail gas station. That's sort of the direct supply chain. But through that whole supply chain, you have all kinds of different assets, right, from drilling rigs to FPSOs to pipeline systems, refineries, processing plants, et cetera. Each of those assets also has its own supply chain that's really driven around spare parts, different types of labor and certifications and qualifications to perform certain types of maintenance work on those. But the demand for that supply chain is much different, and you really need to understand it. And I think I'm starting to see the market sort of, see the same thing. Because what's typically happened in the past is either, you know, uninformed consultants that really have grown out of the ERP or the accounting and marketing world know the direct supply chain extremely well, because there's literally billions of dollars tied up in that supply chain. But what they haven't known, because they haven't grown up in that world, is that blue-collar space related to the indirect supply chain, which is labor, materials, and services related to maintenance, repair, and overhaul kind of work. And the driver, the demand for that supply chain is much, much different. So it's nice to finally see some of the analysts like IDC also recognizing that. So, again, this is a key one to look for. This driver also talks about it'll be the next slide. Let's go ahead and advance to slide 23, number 10. IT spending for oil and gas recovers 2010. I really want to call attention, because this also was brought out very, very well in the Baker Hughes story. We've got many of these types of examples. Kuwait Oil is another really good one for us. But if you look at the third bullet under predictions, rationalization and consolidation of legacy applications, right? This has been the ERP mantra for decades, right? The ERP guy comes in and says, look, I can consolidate all your finance, your HR, your logistics, your vendor, your purchasing, your invoice, all these applications into one single suite. Well, that's all good, but do they really have the capabilities to also consolidate all these operational, engineering, and maintenance types of solutions? And that's sort of the question. That's the debate that's out here. And what we've done, and you'll see the Baker Hughes story sort of calls this out, is that clients, you know, going after that new frontier of which I call more the front office applications, again, used by operations people, engineering folks, and maintenance people, you know, those applications are a lot different. The data model, the data requirements supporting those processes is a lot different from some of those finance and accounting, more back office types of applications. So in reality, what we find is that we give the client, the IT, the CIO, a much greater opportunity to reduce the complexity of his IT environment, because our data model is very, very geared towards operational, engineering, and maintenance types of application domains. Therefore, they can consolidate a lot more applications into Maximo rather than trying to put this into ERP and potentially losing a lot of key functionality. That's exactly what Baker Hughes had determined. In fact, I think, you know, prior to the start with Baker Hughes, they identified about 20 or so applications that they're going to replace with Maximo. Well, since then, this is only about 3 months, 4 months into the deployment, they've identified 60, right? So a tremendous opportunity to try to get into a dialogue with the IT folks here and say, well, what kind of applications are you supporting? Have you collated those or categorized those in different domains? And start to look at that, because you're going to find, you know, based on the merger and acquisition activity these guys have gone through, they're going to have literally hundreds of different types of applications they support. And any of those that sort of fall in that operations, engineering, or maintenance domain are really good targets for consolidation. So that's it, really, for the IDC predictions. If we could advance to the next slide, slide 24, really the competitive landscape. And I've hinted upon this, you know, a bit already. We see certainly SAP claims that this they dominate the oil and gas industry. And there's actually some other presentations I've recorded on the impact that that's having. Because what we're seeing is SAP is not really investing a lot more in the industry, and is creating a lot of concern with some of their customers. In fact, Tim Crossett has a recording, because he used to be the sort of the architect for their oil and gas offerings, and he indicated this directly. The point here, I guess, is you'll see SAP, you'll see in every one of these segments, you know, the Baker Hughes story, we saw that in oilfield services. A lot of our existing customers are already, you know, they've got SAP. They also have Maximo. I'd say we're seeing in the last year or so a lot more activity around Oracle. J.D. Edwards more in sort of the pipeline space, a little bit in the upstream space. Don't see them too much downstream, although they're there. I just, you know, so this is sort of a bit, you know, a global perspective, I guess. The best of breed players you see there, again, oilfield services is various. A lot of homegrown still exists there. In production, sort of offshore drilling, you've got Amos, you've got another, there's a product called Star that's out there quite a bit. We see Rig MS is going to be a bigger player. They were acquired by National Oil of Arco, so you've got a big oilfield services vendor that's going to be promoting Rig MS, and then sort of see across there. But again, by and large, you know, even in the general business space, GB, you know, for example, Baker Hughes, despite being, you know, a $6-7 billion revenue company, was considered a GB account last year. I think it's been moved since, but they all have SAP. I think once you get under maybe the, you know, I don't know, it's $500 million to maybe $1 billion in that clip, you'll start to see maybe a little bit less of SAP. But certainly SAP is a dominant player here in our space. And, you know, a key thing, I guess I won't get into all the positioning here for each of these segments. So you can see the bullet points here. I might call out a few. Every one of these segments requires mobility. So we need to start to think through how we can better position mobility in our with our customers. Maximo's got mobile capability solutions, so you should be comfortable there. We've also got, you know, a partner solution that we can bring in if the requirements necessitate. I think we're certainly seeing that by some of our competition, particularly Oracle. We're seeing really, you know, leading with mobility, ease of use, sorts of solutions. But the big point here in all of this is the key folks here that take on the burden of risk or take on the burden of a business case to do anything with EAM are typically not IT people, unless you're talking, of course, about IT assets and data centers. The key thing here that we need to do as an IBM company is build relationships with folks in operations. Operations needs to drive this. If not, and the key shame on all of that is, unfortunately, most of our relationships are obviously with IT, and so we should be approaching our IT friends and relationships and helping them better align with the business with a solution like Maximo or EAM. They go down. There's not many folks out there in any of these segments that I can find or I've heard good things about when they talk about deploying an ERP-based solution in this market. There are very few out there that will respond favorably to what has happened. But the problem is a lot of times these operational folks don't get involved. And that's a key thing that we need to help educate our CIOs and our IT counterparts that we're talking to, is highlighting the risks associated with that. You need to get the end user, the key leadership, the folks that have the vision around operational excellence, engaged in this evaluation, engaged in this discussion. And if you can do that successfully, you increase our opportunity to win tremendously. So I'll leave this slide with that point. Slide 25, I just wanted to include a link here. Again, those that have time availability, if not, you can certainly get the recording off World Oil's webcast. But we're actually going through the story on Baker Hughes and talking about this collaborative model between EAM and ERP. So it really reflects on that whole driver that was mentioned earlier, the IDC calls out around consolidation and reducing the complexity of our IT portfolios in the industry. So if you can attend, if not, try to get the download there. And then I guess slide 26, for those that really have a lot, if you're in a territory like Houston or Calgary or Norway, Perth, for example, it's heavy, Middle East is another good one, heavily concentrated with oil and gas companies, I recommend you'll use some of these links to get familiar with a lot of the other offerings and knowledge assets that you can build your domain expertise to be more comfortable talking with clients using these links. And then I'm going to turn it back to Steve for slide 27 to talk about the Maximo specific links that you can get more content for oil and gas. Steve?
Great. Thanks, Bill. So as Bill said, slide 27 shows you a couple of asset management sales enablement links, you know, inclusive of oil and gas, but then also the higher level picture across all the various asset classes that Maximo supports. Ultimately, if you have an opportunity, don't know where to turn to, you know, Bill's a great resource to help you align with the right sales team, as is someone like Lee Blakemore, who's the Maximo worldwide sales leader. Very responsive individual. Would love to help you out as much as possible. So I know we're pushing the hour, so at this point, Brandy, I'd like to open it up for Q&A.
Thank you. If you would like to ask a question, please press star 1. To withdraw your request, press star 2. Once again, to ask a question, please press star, then 1 now. One moment for the first question, please. At this time, there are no questions.
Okay. Thank you, Brandy. So I guess that concludes the delivery of the call. I'd like to flip it back over to Sheila for some final closing comments.
Okay. Thanks, Steve. For all of you that have attended the call, thank you for joining us. I hope you've taken away the importance of asset management within the various segments of the oil and gas industry, as well as how IBM Solutions can help your customers manage their assets and really deliver a very aggressive return on investment, something I think your customers and prospects will be interested in. So to wrap things up, there's three things we'd like to ask you to do, you know, sort of if you're asking where do we go from here. The first thing is to continue to attend these sales enablement sessions. Today, obviously, was oil and gas. We've asked that each territory rep, every territory sales leader and brand specialist attend at least 2 sessions. And our session next week is going to be on healthcare, so that should be exciting. The second call to action is over the next 60 days, and that really gets us to the end of second quarter, you've got some skills now, I think, to identify some opportunities in the oil and gas industry. Try to find at least 3 new opportunities within your territory. So whether you're a territory rep or TSL or brand sales specialist, go ahead and try to look for some opportunities and bring them into your pipeline. And then the third thing is let us know where you need help. If this training was too much, too little, not the right message, you know, whatever you need, just let us know, and we'll be happy to take a look at any additional education that we might be able to offer to the sellers. So with that, I'm going to go ahead and wrap up the call. Thank you for all of the time you spent with us today, and for those that cover healthcare accounts, we'll look forward to seeing you on the call next week. Thanks.
Thank you for participating in today's conference call. You may disconnect at this time.